Let's pray. Jesus, I ask this morning for your guidance and your inspiration as I share with my brothers and sisters in Christ the things that you have laid upon my heart. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. I have one correction, and this was my responsibility. It was my fault. We are actually reading from 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. I sent Linda the email and didn't proofread it, and I typed one instead of two. You can follow along in the Pew Bible, but I am reading from the New International Version of the Bible this morning. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2:14 to 3:6. Paul writing here, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God." Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The way we speak to each other, the way we talk to each other, it's what we just shared with the children. Our words have this incredible power to crush spirits and break hearts and leave wounds. Our words also have a mighty power to lift spirits, to strengthen, to give hope, to encourage, to inspire, to bring joy. Our words, the way we speak them. One of my favorite Christian writers is Anne Voskamp, and she said we should only speak words that make souls stronger. Only speak words that make souls stronger. Words that put courage into the soul of another. Words that call out the best in each other. Words that make us stronger, those words. And pastor and author Scott Sauls, in his book Irresistible Faith, which I highly recommend and which will be in the library after I finish reading it, Scott Sauls wrote, what if all it took for us Christians to be the city on a hill and the light of the world that Jesus calls us to be, to our neighbors, our friends, our families, our colleagues, what if all it took was to choose kindness over criticism to one another? What if that's all it took, how we speak to one another? In verse 17 of our scripture this morning, I'm going to highlight that again. It says, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God." Paul was referring to preachers in that time who were peddlers of God's word. They preached without understanding. They didn't understand God's message, nor did they care about what happened to the people that they were speaking to. And so Paul gave us this warning, this message, this encouragement. It was a specific situation, but as I thought about us speaking, I thought God has sent us to speak, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to speak with Christ's power. Right here it says, Christ's power, we can speak. Not only when we're preaching the gospel and salvation through Christ, but in our everyday, ordinary, everywhere we are, wherever we are, conversations. Every day, in our homes, grocery stores, everywhere we are, we represent Jesus. We are, as Paul wrote, the aroma of Christ. And I think we want to speak like Jesus. Speak like him. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can hear Jesus talking to people. He talks to his disciples, he talks to religious leaders, he talks to people who are sick, he talks to outcasts, he talks to his friends. He talks to people. And he speaks words of welcome to them. We find words of healing, words of discipline, words of hope, challenge, compassion, words like, love as I love you. Come here. Come to me. Words of welcome. Words like, I am with you. My peace and my joy I'm giving to you. Don't be afraid. Neither do I condemn you. Do you not see? Jesus asked. Do you not see? He speaks with people, and we hear this. So what does this look like in our lives today? What does this look like? I want to, for a moment, just make it very, very personal. Because these are hard things. These are examples of words that maybe someone has spoken to you in your life, or that you have spoken to yourself, or that maybe you have even spoken to someone else. Words like this. You are worthless. Now, if we know what God speaks to us, and if, as followers of Christ, we want to speak like Jesus, what do we have to say to that? To the person who would say to someone, to the person to whom someone has said, you are worthless. What can we speak to them? What can we? What do you know? Do you know that God says we can speak, you were made in the image of God. You're not worthless. The image of God is stamped on you. You are ugly. God says you are his masterpiece. You will never amount to much. Has anyone ever spoken that to you? God says you are uniquely, we are uniquely gifted, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made by him. How about you disappoint me? Our words can be, I see potential in you. How about you should be ashamed of yourself? It sounds so ugly and hurtful, doesn't it? How about instead, I respect you? And how about the words, I hate you? And if we speak like Jesus, we can say, I like you. I love you. it's sure not easy. And anyone who has been on the receiving end of my, Beverly's impatience and unkindness, or my anger, knows how not like Jesus my words are. And so I try again. God tells us to speak the truth in love, even when it's necessary to discipline or to correct, which we are sometimes called to do to help each other as Christians. It can be done without condemnation or destroying someone's spirit. Strong words, even words of anger, can be spoken without hate and destruction. Words of forgiveness can be spoken. And I highlight verse 5 from chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. It is He who inspires us to speak like Jesus. I am thankful and humbled in my life that so many Christians have encouraged me. So many. My mom, my grandmother, my friends here at church, other friends, people I've met along the way. I wouldn't have made it without them speaking like Jesus to me, in love and encouragement and discipline too. I wanted to share this note with you. This is several years old, but it meant something to me, and so I kept it. This is one that I received from Larry Beatty. Larry just retired, actually. He was the president of Jamonville. And Larry sent me this card. It's got a picture of Jamonville on it. And it came in my mail very unexpectedly. And he wrote 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 9, which turned out to be just what I needed to read in my life right then. He didn't know that, but God did. And he wrote, "Beverly, today in my devotional time, I ask God to bless you and your family and your ministry. Thank you for the impact of your life and your commitment to growing the kingdom in so many ways. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let me know if there is ever any way that I can help. Larry." That note has, as have many others, from people who have spoken like Jesus to me. It just did something to my heart, something good to my heart and spirit. Paul, being inspired by God, wrote these encouraging words that we read this morning to the Christians at the church in Corinth. Corinth was unparalleled in godlessness. It was a culture of corruption and immorality. Paul's words are for us today, too. Like us, the Christians at Corinth didn't always get it right. They didn't always get it right. If you keep on reading in chapter 3, boy, these Corinthian Christians, they caught some of the glory and the hope and the aroma of Christ. So then, as it continues in chapter 3, we are becoming more like Jesus. We are being transformed in His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from God. The closer we follow Jesus, the more we become like Him, and we speak like Him. Words that make our souls stronger every day. We need Jesus, and we need each other, and we need to speak like Jesus. Amen.